All right, 1 Kings chapter 1. If you're there, say there. Awesome. Here we go. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David until he could finish the building of his palace and the temple of the Lord and a wall around the city. Verse 2. At that time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. Verse 4. Then the most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God says, "What do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you." Solomon offered sacrifices at Gibeon. And so the thing about it, here he is. Solomon becomes king. He takes a new wife. I wouldn't suggest taking a wife from Egypt. Never goes well. But here he is. He takes her, brings her to Jerusalem. But the thing about what I want to talk about tonight is sacrifice. Did you see how many sacrifices he made? You think about it. That's 1,000 burnt offerings. I don't know about you. I don't have 1,000 animals. Ben might out on his farm, but I don't. But the thing about it, when it comes to God, he's expecting us to make a sacrifice. But Pastor, did he already make the greatest sacrifice? Yes, he did. But we also have a sacrifice to make. It's called sacrifice of praise. And we talk about that. See, sometimes we don't feel like making a sacrifice. But do you know something? When Solomon went and did this sacrifice, he was never guaranteed a reward at the end. If you look at some of the great prophets of the Old Testament, we can take a look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. God called all three of them. And you know what God told them to do? Go preach to your own people. But the results will be nothing. Actually, they're going to actually go worse. But there will always be a remnant. See, sometimes when God tells us to do things, we want this big display of, wow, look what God's doing. But he's never promised that. He does promise to take care of us. But when we sacrifice a praise, when we sacrifice our time, I mean, all you've sacrificed your time tonight, your energy, your family, you gave up something to say, God, you're more important than whatever else is there is. I'm willing to sacrifice these things. About a month ago, we had an all-night prayer meeting. Many people sacrifice sleep. See, when we sacrifice, we get God takes notice. And sacrifice is not a bad thing. It's actually one of the healthiest things you can do. Did you know fasting's part of sacrificing? As much as I hate fasting, I actually enjoy it at the same time. It's a love-hate relationship. Because I love to eat. I actually enjoy sitting down and having a good meal. You know, pizza, french fries, and ice cream. A great meal. If Cletus was there, it'd be two apple pies. But the thing about it, there's always has to be a sacrifice to get God's attention. See, when you accept Jesus, you got God's attention. When you give your offerings and your tithes, you give God attention. You know, the lady with one mite, she gave a sacrifice and took Jesus' luck. If you look throughout the New Testament, every time someone came to God, they gave up something to draw closer to Jesus. The lady with the issue of blood. I want to push through this crowd. There was a sacrifice. Blind Bartimaeus. Be quiet, you blind guy. What he did? He just yelled louder. Sometimes the devil's going to try to tell you to tone it down. People will tell you, hey, you're getting too crazy. You're going to church. You're getting too crazy. You're showing up on a Sunday night. You don't you know it's dark out? Yeah, don't you know they make things called headlights for cars too? But the thing about it, when we are willing to make a sacrifice, God will always show up. Not once have I ever been disappointed when I made a sacrifice. So I've been on this running journey for a couple years now. And every year, God always challenges me. And sometimes I don't like those challenges. You ever get challenged by God? I know it's best for me, but I absolutely do not like him. Especially when he starts calling me a wimp. And so, last year I was running 3 miles a day, or 3 miles when I would go out running. And people would say, wow, that's a long way. So I'm like, it's just 3 miles, not that far. Anybody can do it. I'd be like a marathoner saying, anybody can run a marathon. I'm like, no. And so this spring when I got my new shoes, God goes, don't just run 3 miles. Go to 5 miles. Really? Okay. And so with my 5 miles, I mean, Dodge Center is mostly flat-ish. It's not like Manorville, where they got some good hills. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to scout out the land and see where the flattest roads are. And so I started scouting them out, and it was pretty... I'm like, wow, this is 5 miles. All right. And then I'm like, we're running. And one back in June, July, guy goes, oh, you're doing good on 5. I'm glad for that. Do 10. I don't want to do 10. That's doubling it, God. I don't want to do 10. He goes, do 10. All right. So August 19th, I put my water backpack on my back. Em and I went for a 10-mile jog. Mostly jog. We made it. He goes, good. Now keep up at 7. I'm like, no. He goes, you're a wimp. You're only doing 5. What's 2 more miles? See, when you're willing to go the extra distance, for me, when I run, it's time for me to get away. It's time for me to pray. It's time for me to worship. That's the reason why I tell people, if you see my hands going like this, if I'm walking, I'm okay. You don't need to call 911. We're good. And so the thing about it, now suddenly he goes, while you're at 7 miles, start putting heels in it. I'm like, I don't like heels, Lord. I know. That's the reason why you're a wimp. When God calls you a wimp, you're like, oh, I don't think I'm a wimp, God. He goes, want to arm wrestle? And I'm like, no, you're a wimp. But the thing about it, there's a sacrifice. And when I make these sacrifices, the other day I was like, okay, I'll just start going out. And the first mile was awful. I mean, I felt like I was going to throw up. I felt like I should die. Like, just put a cover over me and let me lie there for a couple hours and we'll be good. But I got through the first mile. I hit the second mile. I'm like, okay, well, feeling a little bit better. Now I hit the third mile. I'm out by the property, running around the property. He goes, oh yeah, by the way, get some cross country in too. I'm like, great. About the fifth mile, I'm like, hey, I think I can do 5 more. He goes, I didn't ask you to do 10. Don't get silly on me. He goes, just 7. But sometimes the first step, the first sacrifice, the first note, the first words, is sometimes the hardest. And sometimes when you break through, like that kid said, the first mile, it was hard. It was sacrifice. I did not like it. But yeah, I pushed through because I knew there was something. And about the third mile, God goes, you're going to do 5 or 7? I go, well, I guess I'll do 7. He goes, good, you won't regret it. You ever pull back on doing something, and then you regret that you didn't push through? I've done that many times with, oh man, I'll do 5, and I end up just doing 3. And I'm laying in bed, I'm like, I'm just a sluggard. God is right, I'm a wimp. But then, the next time you go out, you do it. And you push through, and you're like, yes, I did it! Because, no, why? Because God wants us to go through and push. Because there's usually something on this. And when Solomon made these sacrifices, the Lord showed up. And sometimes when he shows up, he'll ask you, what would you like? How awesome is that? There's been times when God goes, hey, what would you like? I go, oh man, I would like this to happen, Lord. And guess what? He happens. Because Solomon wasn't asking. Solomon didn't answer, give me wisdom so I can be the smartest man in the world. Obviously, he needed wisdom. He married a lady from Egypt. Wasn't the wisest choice. Like I said, ladies from Egypt was not the wisest choice. But here he is. Because I need wisdom to govern these people. But now if we jump down to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51 and into 8. 51 says, so King Solomon finished all of his work on the temple of the Lord. Then he brought all the gifts of his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the various articles he stored up for them in the treasuries of the Lord's temple. So when he finished building the temple, the brick and mortar, because David couldn't do it. But David prepared. There have been things that you have laid the ground for other people to build upon. David sacrificed all this gold, all these things, to make sure the temple got built. And so there are some things that are not for you to do, but it's for you to sacrifice for. And that's sometimes the hardest place to be. Because you sacrifice, you sacrifice, you sacrifice. Years you toiled. But all of a sudden, someone else, God brings somebody else in. He raises them up to fulfill what God's called you to do. Especially, think about it, it was his son. How awesome, I mean, David's not around anymore. How awesome would that have been if David was there? Way to go, buddy! You did it! I can see David up in heaven say, hey, look! Look what my son did! God, get ready to go down because look what he did! So we should be excited when someone builds upon your sacrifice to fulfill what God's called you both to do. You know, I look at Johan and I'm just amazed what God's doing up in Manorville. And the sacrifice of all the church that was there for all those years made. And now look what God's doing. And they can rejoice with what God's doing. Because when you make a sacrifice, God sees it, even for the future generations. And so then in verse 8, Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem, to the elders, to Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders, the ancestral families of the Israelites. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord covenant to the temple from the location of the city of David, also known as Zion. So all the men of Israel assembled before the King Solomon at the annual festival of shelters, for which is held in early autumn in the month of Ethim. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the priests picked up the ark. The priests, the Levites, brought up the ark of the Lord according along with their special tent. David had a tent built for this ark to hang under, to be under. It's hardly ever mentioned. But it was a tent. It wasn't the temple, the tent of meetings, and it wasn't the temple. David had, hey, let's put something up for the ark can hang under, and it was called the it was a place of worship. It's very seldom talked about in the Bible, but David's like, hey, this thing needs a place, and we're going to protect it. And so they brought it in. There before the ark, the King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed. This is interesting. They sacrificed so many sheep, goats, and cattle that no one could keep count. They counted 1,000 of his own. But now, here comes everyone. See, when you start making the sacrifice, when Solomon made the sacrifice first, other people saw that and said, if he can do it, I can do it. See, sometimes when we make a sacrifice, it's going to get other people excited to make a sacrifice for God as well. And all of a sudden, here comes the animals. So many, they could not keep count of them. I don't know about you, that's a lot of animals. That's more than any zoo could hold. Can you imagine how nasty and wretched and stinky it would have been sacrificing all those animals? Some of you have gutted animals because you've gone hunting, or you've gutted fish. And you can imagine it. It wasn't just an easy time. It was cows and sheep and goats. It was a sacrifice to be held before all. And as they were sacrificed, there's an aroma. And the aroma wasn't pleasant to them, but it was pleasant to God. When you sacrifice, it's not pleasant to the flesh. The flesh absolutely hates it. But the thing about it, it's a sweet smelling aroma to God. And he's like, keep sacrificing, because I smell it, and it smells tasty. It's like having pineapple on your pizza with ham. Oh, Bishop. It's good stuff.
Abomination.
But the thing about it is, it's a sweet aroma. You come in from being outside on a cold day, and you smell that chili cooking. Or that roast cooking. But if you just left it on the counter, it would have a different smell. See, the thing about when we sacrifice things to God, it hurts, it stinks, it just stings, and you're like, no, I don't want to sacrifice. But it says, when we sacrifice, even praise, Lord, it hurts to worship you tonight. But guess what? I'm going to choose to worship you anyways. He's like, ah, oh, I love it. I love it. And so when we sacrifice, he's up there and he's like, ah. It's like a spring rain. When we lived in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, about in the springtime, the trees would start blooming, the oranges and the lemons. And they would have acres and acres of these, not apple trees, but orange groves. And they just would, and all of a sudden you get a little breeze blowing through the city. And you would smell the beautiful orange blossoms. It's like, oh, this is so awesome. But they, and that's the type of aroma that you give to God every time you sacrifice. Every time you're willing to say, Lord, I will give up an extra minute so I can spend with you. Lord, I will give up my drive time listening to this or that so I can worship you. I'm willing to give up whatever I deem necessary, what I deem is important to me, so I can worship you, so I can honor you, for I can bless you. See, the thing about it, they came and they gave all these animals. The priests, in verse 6, the priests carried the ark. And in verse 10, when the priests came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. I'm telling you, when you sacrifice, God shows up. Not once have I ever sacrificed and he's never showed up. He has always showed up. Maybe he didn't show up the way I wanted him to, but he showed up in a way that was powerful that I'm like, whoa, how cool is this? I believe those who came tonight, you gave up something to draw closer to God or say, God, I need a touch from you. I need a touch here or there. Guess what? He's going to show up because you made the sacrifice to come. Because you sacrificed gas, you sacrificed all these things. And God's like, hey, I can work with this. He loves a good sacrifice. And then, if we drop down, this is amazing. If we drop down to verse 62, then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice. This is above. This is still more. He goes, Solomon offered the Lord a peace offering. 22,000 cattle. That's a lot of hamburgers. That's a lot of steak. That's some good roast. See, sometimes God's not asking for your second best. He's asking for your best. He's asking for your best cattle. He's asking for your best worship. He's asking for your best offering. He's asking for your best time. He's asking. And so here he is. He's giving up 22,000 cattle. And then he also gave up 120,000 sheep and goats. Man, that would have been a feast and a half. All the lamb chops? You think about it. But he's saying, you know, we have this, and we're going to give it to God. Because he deserves it. So many times we're like, well, Lord, what if I give you this? You ever say that to God? Well, Lord, if I give this to you, I'm not sure if I'll have enough money for this. Or if I give my time to you, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough time to get this done. Lord, if I take time to worship you right now, I'm going to miss out on this and this and this. But not once have I ever given up something for God and regretted it. Not once. And here, think about it. This is value. This is their livelihood. I don't know about you, but there's no way I could eat 22 cattle in a year. I'd be like, I don't know, Humpty Dumpty. Boom, boom. I'd be like that king who got stabbed in the tummy, lost his knife. Big old fat guy, or, you know, the high priest Eli who fell off the wall and broke his neck because he was too... See the thing about it? He could have made some money on this. You know, hey, I got some lamb chops. But he goes, nope, we're going to dedicate it. And so the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the temple of the Lord. Verse 64. That same day, the king consecrated the center area of the courtyard in front of the Lord's temple. He offered a burnt offerings and grain offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. There he is, more offerings! Do you feel like sometimes God, all he does is goes, well, are you willing to give this up and this up and this up and this up? But there's always a reason. Because he always wants to meet you where you're at. But he doesn't want to keep you there. Because there's been times where $10 would have been a sacrifice for you. But now he's saying, are you willing to give $10 and one penny? And now that's like, oh man, that's a stretch. But God's saying, are you willing to go? Because it's always more that God has. And then it says the fat priest offering, and then because the bronze altar of the Lord's presence was too small to hold all the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and fat of the peace offerings. God couldn't even contain all the offerings. You think about it. Can you imagine sacrificing so much and God goes, whoa. That's a lot on my altar. You're giving too much. But God's saying, I desire, but the greatest sacrifice you can give is your heart. The greatest thing you could ever give God is your heart. And I'm not even talking about salvation. I'm talking beyond salvation. I'm talking about that attitude of the heart. You know the reason why Satan got kicked out of heaven wasn't because he was overly gifted, because he had an attitude of the heart. I'm not sure the angels have heart or not, but we'll just say they did. The attitude became pride. Look what I did! Look how good I am! I'm singing! I'm dancing! I play the harp well! Come follow me! Not once in the Bible, did God ever ask us to be leaders. He always asks us to be submissive. He always says, are you willing to submit to me and what I want you to do? The devil wasn't. No, God, I don't think I want to submit to you because I'm going to be as good as you. Watch this. Bling, 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 bling. He pulled out his little harpless cord, his drums. I don't know what musical instrument he played. Maybe it was the tambourine. That's why we don't have one in the church. I did go to a church a couple months ago and they had a basket of tambourines. Lord help us. But the thing about it, because he goes, look at me. When you make a sacrifice, go look at God. Look at what God can do. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. He wants your heart. Not just say, well, Lord, I'll do what you want. No. I've said that way too many times. Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Just don't send me home to my neighbors. Because they scare me because guess what? I have to be perfect from now on once they know that I'm a Christian. You ever felt that way before? Well, they know I'm a Christian. Now I gotta behave. My kids are acting up. Behave, kids. You're going to make me look bad. Guess what? That's pride. And we got to kill pride. When you sacrifice an offering of praise to God, you think about it. David, his sacrifice wasn't just in finances and animals and lumber and all that. His greatest sacrifice was his praise to God when they brought in the Ark of the Covenant to the city. And David, every six steps, you think about how Solomon knew how to sacrifice. He was learned from his daddy that he saw his dad. Well, he probably didn't see his daddy at the time, but he heard the story of his daddy. Every six steps, slice, there goes another cow. Six more steps, slice. You think about it, a trail of dead carcasses along the way. But not just that, he was naked almost. He was running around in his underoos. He was Captain America running around his underoos saying, look at the animal. But guess what? He wasn't pointing to himself. He was sacrificing. Look at what God is doing. And his wife was not joining him. His wife stood on the side and says, how dare you? She had the attitude like her dad. Look at me. Oh, you're too prim and proper. I've never been accused of being prim and proper in my entire life. No. Not even in weddings or at funerals. Never once have I ever been called prim and proper. I might have been called a little out there, a little crazy, but I know what my God has done for me. And I know the sacrifice he's made for me. Why would I want to dance before him? Why would I want to offer him my best that I have for him? Because he gave me everything I have. And so They sacrifice. And so the thing about it, when you make a sacrifice, people are looking and they're learning how to make their own sacrifices. And everybody will make a different sacrifice. My sacrifice will look different than anybody else's in this room because I'm called to be different. I'm not called to be sacrificial like anybody else. My sacrifice will look different. Your sacrifice will look different. So if you're trying to compare your sacrifice, wow, that lady just gave one mite. That's all I have to give, since she just gave that. She gave it all. Compare that now. Are you willing to give it all? That'd be tough. Let's be honest. Has God ever asked you to give it all? Like, push all your chips in? I'm not into betting. I'm not promoting gambling. But sometimes we got to push all our chips in on God. Say, God, they're yours. It hurts. Because if I go down, you're coming with me. But guess what? God has never forsaken his children. And if I'm going to go down, I'm going to push all my chips in. We're going to have a fun day. We're going to see great things with God. Because God's not done. He's not done. And here he goes, verse 65. Then Solomon and all Israel celebrate the festival of shelters in the presence of the Lord our God. A large congregation had gathered as far away as Lebo Hamath in the north and the brook of Egypt in the south. The celebration, guess what? They celebrated for 14 days. I don't know about... First of all, they sacrificed everything they had. They go, let's party for 14 days. Let's celebrate how good God is. See, sometimes we celebrate God. Wow, God, you did good. I mean, he got David out of the hospital today. Hey, let's celebrate that again tomorrow. Because if he can do it for one, he can do it for more. And the thing about it is that he wants us to celebrate his goodness. It's so easy to mope around. Whoa. But how about celebrate God's goodness? Celebrate the air we breathe. Celebrate this beautiful weather. Celebrate it when it gets cold, because then the apples will do its thing. See, when you make a sacrifice, sometimes you have to look forward to rewards. See, I'm looking forward to spring. Already? Why not? I like tulips better than bare trees. But yet, I know we go through winter. What makes winter? Because we wouldn't have tulips without winter. Arizona in the desert doesn't have tulips. They don't have any of our spring flowers because they don't get cold enough. It doesn't freeze. See, we don't have the fruit like oranges and lemons up here because we don't get hot enough, long enough. Think about it. You ever lived through a year in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, when it gets 115 degrees out, and you put on your belt buckle, and you see people with gloves, not because it's cold, because it's hot and they don't want their hands to get burnt. It's real. Oh, it's a dry heat. Oh, I know it's dry. So is the oven. It is hot too. But yet, with sacrifices in the desert, their spring rains bring some beautiful, their winter rains will bring some of the most beautiful landscape you ever seen. Our winters will bring us some of the tastiest, yummiest food in the fall, such as apples and everything they make, and brings us some of the most beautiful flowers, crocuses and tulips and things like that, because we get to walk through those things. See, when you walk through, and when you sacrifice, you're actually planting something beautiful. And guess what? When the three men went into the fire, they didn't know the fourth one was with them. The king poked his head in there. Okay. He looked in there. He goes, hey, one, two, three, four. No, that can't be right. Let me recount. I got good education here. Let me recount. One, two, three, four. They were willing to sacrifice their life. And Jesus showed up in the midst of the fire. Guess what? You might not notice Jesus walking with you, but those in the world will see Jesus walking with you. When you make a sacrifice, you might not see Jesus, but other people will see Jesus walking with you. And so they celebrated for 14 days. 7 days for the dedication of the altar, 7 days for the festival of shelters, and after the festival was over, Solomon sent the people home. They blessed the king and went to their homes joyful and glad because the Lord had been good to his servant David and his people Israel. How awesome is that? Did you know Jesus sits up at the right hand of the Father right now? But it's been recorded that Jesus stood up once. And the way he stood up was there was a man named Stephen, or Stephen, however you want to pronounce it, in the book of Acts. And he's standing there, and he's preaching. And his preaching was much tougher than my preaching. His preaching was cutting to the bone. And the people did not like his preaching. I never had anybody throw a stone at me. I've had people throw eggs at me, but that's besides the point. Not when I was preaching, though. But you think about it. He's preaching. And all of a sudden, because he's preaching truth, they get mad. See, when you make a sacrifice, not everybody's happy about it. Some people get mad at you. They'd rather keep you in sin and keep you in bondage than allow you to walk in freedom and set free. So Stephen here, he's preaching, and there's a man named Saul there. And next thing you know, they're throwing pebbles at him. No. They're not throwing pebbles at him. They're throwing rocks and stones at him. There's a couple ways I do not want to die. One is by drowning. The other one by stoning. Either of those do not sound healthy to me. Neither way. And so they're throwing these stones at him. And he looks up and he goes, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And he commits himself. And Jesus stood up, looked over the banner of heaven, and says, now that's a sacrifice. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? To be honest with you, it's hard to go knock on the neighbor's door and say, hey, will you come to church with me? At times. Because what if they can say no? What if you invite your two doors down? Hey, we got this celebration coming up. Will you come with me? It's easier to get up here and preach than go to door. Because I don't want to be rejected. But at the same time, if God told me I had to do it, I'd literally have to go, hi, my name is Roy. Please don't reject me. You ever been rejected by offering prayer for somebody? People say, they will never reject you if you give them prayer. Well, make a bet. I cannot count on my fingers and my toes how many times people says, no, thank you. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you told me to pray for them. Yeah, pray for them still. Okay, I'll pray for them. But here he is, because his sacrifice got Jesus' attention, and also got a man named Saul attention. And Saul was on his high horse, ready to go kill more Christians. And God intervened. Because I believe partly because of his sacrifice. Where he says, Lord, forgive them so they do not know what they're doing. Sometimes your sacrifice is saying, Lord, I forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. As hard as it is, as tough as it is, sacrifice isn't always easy, but there's always a reward. Yeah. There's always a reward. So tonight, get ready for a reward. Get ready to be blessed by God. We're going to open these altars here in a few minutes. We're going to have some music going in the background. But I'm believing those who came and said, I need a touch from God. God's going to touch you. It's been a battle to get to this point tonight. It's been a battle all week. It's been a battle for the last 2 weeks. And to be honest with you, I did not want to come. But I knew God's called us to do it. And so sacrifice is worth it. To see my family set free. Amen. To see my friends set free. To see Dodge Center touched. Dodge County touched. This is where God placed us. And guess what? He's not done. Amen. And I'm excited as we sacrifice, as we sing a sacrifice of praise. You know that old song, I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you still need to make that sacrifice. Because you're like, I don't feel like praising God. Okay. Do it anyways. Do it anyways. I'll tell you this story and then we'll head into our worship and prayer time. I was 17 years old. Ish. I lived about 3 miles, 4 miles from my high school to my home. And I had a stinky attitude coming out of school. I don't know if it was a bad day at sports or whatever. And this is before they had CDs. You remember those things called tapes? Anybody remember Petra? Yeah. Anybody remember Petra Praise, their first album? It was like the first rock and roll worship album ever created. I was like, all right. I put that thing in. And I've been a Petra fan long before that. We won't go into detail. But the thing about it, I put it in. Started the car, pushed it in. They started singing. The Spirit of God, by the time I got home, because I was willing to make a sacrifice of praise. By the time I got home, my attitude changed. I was a different person. Because guess what? I made a choice. I'm going to go worship God. I'm going to make that sacrifice. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be powerful. I didn't expect him to show up. I was 17. I didn't have somebody to say, hey, if you make a sacrifice of praise, God will show up. I didn't have anybody tell me. If you're willing to make this sacrifice, I didn't have any discipleship going on. All I knew, I wanted something different than what the world was offering me. And so I was willing to sacrifice my time and say, Lord, you take the wheel, let's worship. I don't know if it was side A or B or what songs, but that's still one of my favorite worship albums because God entered me there. Some of you have songs from olden days. Go find them on YouTube. Love the Spirit, come in. Gene's last Friday being alive, I told this to our congregation a couple times now. I went to visit her. Because I'd go to the hospital, visit people there, and I'd stop by her house. I stopped in on that Friday. I didn't know she only had a couple days left to live. And I walk in. I tried to do this on the Tuesday before, but there was hospice there and other people there. It was just, we did communion, but it was like, we just did it. And next you know, I show up Friday. And her two daughters were there, but they left us alone. We're out in her sunroom. We're talking a little bit, and Next thing I know, I go, Gene, let's sing some songs. I go, what songs do you want? She goes, you said you want to sing songs, you pick them. Okay. So I pulled out the phone and brought up YouTube and brought up one of her favorite singers, Jimmy. Jimmy Swaggart, in case you didn't know. And I'm like, okay, what's some old hymns that she would know? We started singing. The Spirit started moving. And then I saw that she started, I'm like, okay, started being disinterested. And I go, all right, let us pull out the Bible. And what's a read to somebody who's writing about to meet Jesus? Like, wow. You know, and you just start reading wherever. I mean, I'm not going to talk to her about how to be a good mom or how to be a good wife. So I'm trying to go through these passages and so we're reading it, and all of a sudden you can see her starting to get Wayne there, and I go, Gene, let's pray. We start praying. I go, you pray first. Well, she's very frail, very weak at this time. We start praying. She started praying in the Spirit. I started praying in the Spirit. If you knew Gene, when the Spirit came upon her, she would start shaking, rattling, and rolling. And the Spirit came upon her. She started shaking. I'm like, oh, Lord, this is so cool. I mean, I don't mean this in a disrespect to her or life. I'm thinking, Lord, if you could take her now, this would be heavenly sent. Because the Spirit was there. And I stopped, and I'm just sitting there, and she's just worshiping in the Spirit. I'm like, man, one of her last things she's ever got to do is to worship Jesus here on earth. And the very first thing she gets to do in heaven, to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, a couple days later, she's in the arms of Jesus. I'm just telling you now, she made a sacrifice of praise. And the Lord was merciful. And when I left, I was like, it was a peace throughout the whole house. I mean, it was just... So I'm sneaking out you pull a toddler to bed. Like, I'm going to sneak out before they wake up. Here I go. But as I was leaving, I talked to the two girls. And then all of a sudden, she pops her head up. Where are you going? I go, you're fine. And she laid back down. And things have died from all over again. I'm telling you, when you make that sacrifice, God shows up. So we're going to sing some songs. Before you come up, make a sacrifice of praise first. If you need prayer, make a sacrifice of praise first. You might not feel like it. You might not enjoy it at first. But after you make a sacrifice of praise, and I will ask if I remember, have you made a sacrifice of praise yet? And you'll say, no. I'll say, well, go make a sacrifice of praise. And see what God can do. Because it's not about me. It's about God changing you. Amen. About making dead people alive. Father,